Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
It is Jim, Matt, and Molly. Matt Hamilton, Jim Rutledge with you. We are live from the Everlight Solar Studio. We are presented by Coors Light. Primetime Wollersheim back with us behind the glass. And we are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde. And Jason, we had a couple questions, our Siding Unlimited poll questions on the Carbless Talk and Text line. And
can I ask a question first?
Yes, yes. What's up?
I want to be very clear when I say this. I, you know, there's no one more obnoxious about how much they love parenting than me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get in any trouble with HR by any means. But when the hell is Molly coming back? it's just not as good of a show without her. And so
ouch.
She needs to get all the time she deserves, all the time she needs. But, I mean, it's...
You're telling me, Jason.
I was listening to the Open, and I miss her, man. And that's not meant as a slight on you two. You guys do a fine job. It's nice of Hamilton to show up so much until obviously the curling season heats up on the ice. But the bottom line is that, man, I really miss her, and I'm glad she's spending time with the Twins. And I'm a little disappointed that our names didn't get thrown in the hat for names, but. I just was curious. Do you guys know when she's scheduled to reappear, or can we not discuss that? Is that against, like, policy?
I think it's March, right?
I think March is what I have in my head because the babies were born on November 29th, so December 2nd would have been her. And those dates stand out to be December 2nd's my youngest daughter's birthday, and nothing to do with the former disgraced Packers quarterback. So December 2nd was a Monday, and that would have been Molly's, I think, first day. On maternity leave, so roughly 3 months. So I would imagine early March.
Oh, man, that was not what the answer I was hoping for.
Same.
All right, well, let's do it. Let's go.
We miss her too, Jason. You're not the only one.
Okay, good. I hope you took that in the spirit it was intended, because I do love you guys, but the show's just not as good without
me. I know the spirit that was intended. It doesn't mean it didn't hurt, but I know what you meant.
Yeah. But Molly will be missing some really big J journalism questions that Matt's going to ask in a minute. But I want to ask you this. I want to ask you this question that is loosely attached to this game. And I asked the question, would you feel less about the Packers if they lose to the Bears on Sunday under the guise that, everyone's going to play? And so if they lost, it meant that they mentally didn't show up. Because that's really the only way that if they play their starters a normal amount that they don't win is if they mentally didn't show up. So that was kind of my take on it, that the only way the Packers lose by playing the majority of their starters is if they are just mentally wiped from losing to Minnesota, Detroit, and Philadelphia and just feeling let down after coming up short on the goal of trying to win one big game in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think your theory is good. I think the reason why they might not be mentally locked in, and look, LaFleur, you know, said that it got better throughout the week, which I thought was telling, because that would obviously indicate that at the beginning of the week, not that great mentally, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it would be a hangover of those other losses as much as, in my opinion, it would be these guys stink, and we think we can just roll our helmets out there and beat them, and we're really focused on the playoffs anyway, so... we're not really locked in. And I think Matt LaFleur was legitimately worried about that all week long. I really do. I think, you know, he kept going back to 2021. And let's be clear here. They do have something to play for.
Yes.
Now, by, 130, 145, if the Washington Commanders are leading the Dallas Cowboys 31-3 in the third quarter, then they don't have anything to play for anymore, right? Because they'll be resigned to the seventh seed, and maybe that's when he pulls Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs and a few other of those guys and goes with their backups. But the fact remains that as of right now, if Mike McCarthy's team can somehow beat the Commanders on Sunday at noon, same time, so it's not like they'll know before kickoff, mm-hmm. then the Packers would move up to the sixth seed. And that, I was just watching something on the local TV here about, you know, players, you know, somebody, the reporter that was talking was like, I didn't get the sense that the players care if they're the sixth seed or the seventh seed. Well, they can't come out and say publicly, yeah, we're really shooting for the sixth seed because, man, we don't want to play the Eagles. They're going to kick our ass, right? Like, right. Their answers have been very much the, hey, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. We're in the playoffs. You got to be the best. You got to beat the best, blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is you're telling me that these guys wouldn't rather go to L.A. or Tampa than play the Eagles again? No way, man. Like, the Eagles, their quarterback's going to be rested after the concussion, but he's going to be back healthy for the playoffs. They've got really good talent. They're a really good defense. Like, they're the number two seed for a reason. And I just look at this Packers team and think, can they beat not one, not two, but three good teams that they could not beat during the regular season? Probably not. So they're going to want an easier path. And obviously, if you're the seventh seed, you are locked into never playing a home game in the playoffs, and you're going to go from playing the number two seed to playing the number one seed. Because don't forget, and I know some NFL fans forget this, the NFL, your number one seed doesn't, it's not a bracket. You don't play the winner of the 8-9 game like you would in the NCAA tournament. You play whoever the lowest remaining seed is. And that would obviously be the Packers if they somehow won.
Some numbers to throw at you. The Bears last won on the road on a Sunday, week 15, 2021. That's 20 losses in a row. And they haven't won in the United States since sometime in mid-September. So
they haven't won in the United States. That reminds me of the Orlando Magic general manager, Pat
Williams.
Pat Williams. Yep. Yes. And he said, we can't win at home, we can't win on the road, I'm starting to run out of places to schedule games.
Yes, yes.
Which I thought was pretty funny. So I'm sorry, Jim, I don't like the delight in your teams. But I would say this, I'm curious how seriously the Chicago media is taking this, because normally Carmen and Yurko, Waddle and Sylvie, they all call. My phone has not rung all week.
So one thing,
They're checked out, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I'm checked out. The only thing I have a minor interest in is that Jordan Love against the NFC North is 1-4, completing 61% of his passes for 1,300 yards, passing 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Caleb Williams, 63% completion percentage against the NFC North, 1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. If he won, that means they'd have the exact same record, and you can make a case that against NFC North opponents, if the Bears and Caleb Williams won, Jordan Love would have been the worst quarterback in the NFC North against NFC North opponents.
If ifs were fifths, and it's a strong case.
Are you okay? Did you pull a muscle doing that gymnastics?
Actually, I heard it on the... It's when Caleb Williams threw his first interception on U.S. soil since September against Minnesota on a kind of a Hail Mary play, made me think about how long has it been since Caleb has thrown an interception. That's literally the only thing he has going for him, that he set an NFL record for rookies and was on the top three of all time as far as passes thrown on interceptions. So that's the only thing I got going for me this year, is Caleb is pretty good at not throwing interceptions. He'll probably throw three now.
Yeah, you might
have
cursed
him. Good way to pull a groin muscle there with the gymnastics you were doing there. Look, the bottom line is I still believe in the kid. And
same.
And it sucks that he, you know, I remember saying this to you at the time and asking you this when we were heading into the draft. Like, I know how I said it. So I said, look, I don't have anything against Matt Eberflus. Like, it was after he'd like been at like a Marquette game with LaFleur, in the same section. They weren't. I'm like, he seems like a nice enough guy. He's got the new makeover. He looks great. But why the hell did they keep him? They knew they were going to have the first overall pick. You're telling me that Ben Johnson, who turned down other opportunities for jobs, wouldn't have taken that had he known he was going to get Caleb Williams? He wants the job now if Ryan Poles lets him get it, right?
Yep.
So I just –
inept
I would
organization.
Have loved to have seen, yeah, I would have just loved to have seen how this season would have gone – with a Kevin O'Connell level type of head coach who, look what he's done with Darnold, look what he did with Kirk Cousins. Like, I would have loved to have seen just how good, because look, he would have had growing pains just like Jordan Love did as his first year as a starter.
Yep.
Not saying he would have been, you know, all world, but my goodness, what a completely dysfunctional situation to start your career in. And I hope for his sake, because I want that rivalry more than anything, that he can persevere through this and become the player that he's capable of being.
You and me both. Speaking of pulling groins, Matt had a question for you.
Yeah.
Don't go chasing groinal fall.
Yeah, something like that. Jason, first question.
Yeah.
First question.
Matthew.
So you went to school here in Madison. Did you frequent local establishments while you were here?
I did. I don't drink, but I certainly liked girls.
And you like food.
Paula just laughed from around the corner.
Well, your I like girls line really is ominous.
Yeah, actually, that sets up very nice for this question. Have you ever been to...
Is it going to be an Aaron Rodgers question then? Is that
No. Even better. Have you ever been to Bennett's Meadowwood Country Club?
For their smut eggs.
I have not. I know about it. Oh, yeah, I'm well aware. I have plenty of roommates who went. I am I'm not saying, let me be clear, because I don't want to come off as some sort of hypocrite phony.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you that I've never watched that type of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any interest in watching that type of entertainment with a bunch of other dudes while I'm eating my bacon.
Same.
Like that venue, God bless. Is that still around?
Thank God you didn't say sausage on a side note, but yes.
Yeah,
I thought about it. I believe me, I audibled at the line of scrimmage there.
All right.
I think it is still around.
We did about 6 years ago, I did a live show with Tarek Saleh and Derek Engler from the Meadowwood.
What kind of show?
It was a sports show.
Yeah.
The funniest part about it was
you didn't have to pay to go see it.
I left that show to then go high school football. So it was, you know, talk about a juxtaposition.
It's a wholesome day.
Yes.
Yeah,
so, but wait, Matt, what's the other?
So the poll question is our poll question. Well, yesterday, what got us kind of going on this is favorite Madison establishments that have closed. And someone had mentioned there was a place called the Snuggle House where you could pay to hold hands or cuddle.
$60 an hour.
$60 an hour for human touch.
It was touch therapy, they called it.
And we asked, what's weirder, Bennett's Smut and Eggs or the Snuggle House?
It wasn't open very long, Jason. It made national news.
Blows CNBC, me away, it wasn't open. I thought that would just a solid business model.
CNBC, the Badger Herald had a great article on it. Isthmus, CBS, NBC, Capital Times all covered it.
When was this
2013
establishment in existence?
Basically November 1st, 2013 to December 10th, 2013.
Well, they had a good run.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to take this in a much more wholesome direction. The place that I miss dearly, because I used to love eating there, and then when the girls were young, we would always go there, is Ella's Deli.
Oh, yeah.
So as much as fun as the Snuggle House and and Smut and Eggs may be, I'm afraid that the correct answer here is definitely Ella's Deli.
Have you gone out to Epic? I believe they have a lot
But what's weirder of the two?
Come on. Like, I
answer the question.
Big J journalism.
I'm showing my Big J right now, Jason.
He's Edward R. Murrow over here.
Throw me a bone.
So it's watching porn while eating your breakfast with a bunch of dudes or
people.
Well,
let's be honest, the crowd there.
I wonder what the demographic breakdown was.
I'm not going to make any assumptions here.
Or paying someone to hold your hand.
Or spoon. Or spoon.
Oh, man. All right, your choices are either I don't answer the question or I hang up. So you choose.
Hang up.
Goodbye.
Okay. I think Jim might have a real question for you.
Do I have a real question for you after all that? Jason, I would say looking ahead for the Packers here and with this team, like you look at the overall season and there, I kind of have this theory that you cannot really put a grade or a thought or a bow on this season until we see what happens in the playoffs, because the playoffs is the only thing that matters for this season. Because being the seventh seed again and finishing third in the NFC North, regardless of your wins, and Jordan Love basically being a more consistent version of the same quarterback statistically as he was last year, doesn't set up a lot of excitement. But if they steal a win against Philadelphia, everything changes. So for me, right now, the Packers season is very much incomplete, and what they do in the playoffs will define how everyone's going to feel about this season.
Yeah, well, I think you're right in saying how people are going to feel about the season. Now, you know, Tausch likes to say that I take victory laps, which I don't. But I do point out when I read something correctly, only because I think it's instructive. Because Lord knows I'm wrong far more often than I'm right. But what I said in a trailer at Summerfest to Alex Stroth and Gabe Neitzel way back in July was, I think this team will be better than last year's team. They'll have a better record, but they may not go as far in the playoffs by beating the Cowboys last year and then really winning the first three quarters against the 49ers. And not to be whatever, but they're three wins better, and I don't think they're going to go to Philadelphia and win. Now, if they do, great story. And to your point, certainly changes the vibe. But I do think fans are going to be disappointed, and I do think that they are a better team, but they won't feel like it because they won't have had as much playoff success. It just won't have that same vibe. So I think you're exactly right. And look, again, if they win in Philadelphia and they end up being at the same spot in the postseason as they were a year ago, but they won three more games, I do think that that feels different, right? There's no doubt about it. So again, the bottom line is, in my opinion, they're not going to win the Super Bowl either way. I don't think they're good enough to string together three straight road wins against good teams. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying I don't expect that to be the case. If they do, what a story that would be. That would be incredible, especially if they ended up somehow beating Philly, Minnesota, and Detroit in whatever order those other two games would be after they beat Philly. So, look, bottom line is, they are an improved team. They are headed in the right direction. I think that their window is still in the process of opening. So it's open, but it's not as wide open as it could be a year from now. So I think they're a year away. I've been saying that all along. My opinion on that has not changed. But I would hope that fans will be able to see the progress, even if it's not as much as they were hoping for, even if they go to the playoffs and then lose in the first round, because they definitely took steps this year, and you should feel good about that as a fan. But again, I'm not saying we should be writing their obituary already. They're capable of beating Philadelphia. The maddening thing about this team is that you see enough glimpses to think they can beat anybody. The problem is you don't feel like they can beat anybody that's good because they haven't done it yet, and they'll have to prove that in the postseason.
If they don't do it, and I just started this thought because McCarthy's name came up with the Bears, it's 15 years since the Packers last won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not as long as it's been for the Bears.
No, thank you.
But Chicago doesn't call ourselves Title Town, and we haven't had the golden ticket twice.
No, but you're right. Absolutely. And look, I'm not saying that to be a jerk to you as much as I'd like to be. It's more the fact that, like, I think, please don't get mad, Packers fans, but like, I don't think Packers fans fully appreciate how flippin' hard it is to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when's the last time I know the San Francisco 49ers have been there more recently, right? I know the Bears went in, 06 with Grossman?
Yeah.
So they went to another Super Bowl besides 85. But I don't think fans, because of how good Rodgers was and how good Favre was, like, I don't think they fully grasp. It's so much disappointment, right? Oh, my God, they didn't get there again. And Rodgers, you know, there's people that think Rodgers' tenure as the Packers quarterback was a failure because he didn't win more than one Super Bowl. Like, try the teams that have never been to the Super Bowl at all, right? The Browns have never even been in a Super Bowl. The Lions haven't been in a Super Bowl. Like, I'm not saying you can't have high expectations for your team. That's fine. I'm just saying I hope people appreciate that winning the Super Bowl is really hard. Getting to the Super Bowl is really hard. You have to be really good, and you have to have some things fall your way. And I don't think they're good enough. And if they have some things fall their way, maybe they are. But that's not an indictment to say, oh, they must stink then because they haven't gotten to the Super Bowl in 15 years. They had Super Bowl caliber teams that didn't get there. That's for sure.
Jason, great insight. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys. I'm sorry if I made you feel like I love Molly more than you two. I love you guys too.
We love Molly.
Well, you can come get breakfast with me this Sunday if you want. It make you feel better.
I literally was just about to say, I don't love you enough to go get mutton eggs with you. Sorry.
Well, there's room for our relationship to grow then.
What does your wife think when you say things like this?
She doesn't listen to the show. I'm scot-free.
He panicked one time when he thought she was listening because she called during the show, and he's like, oh, God, she's listening.
Oh, no. My mother-in-law listens to the show more often, so she'll hear this, and then my wife will hear it.
There you go. Even better.
That's great. Then you'll have somebody to go with on Saturday.
Hey, breakfast is breakfast.
Thanks, Jason.
Take care. Be good.
We'll take care. I don't know about being good. Chalmers Jewelers, Madison's local and custom jeweler, family-owned jeweler. Chalmers Jewelers in Middleton and in Madison. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.